Amen. Let me lead in a prayer before we continue on. Holy Spirit, thank you for the reminder, even through the spirit of Lent, that, Lord, you journeyed through, Lord, 2,000 years ago towards the cross. And we're reminded, God, of the anguish that you went through, your anguish for the people that do not know the living God. And so, Lord, even as we ourselves here as people of God, Lord, who has taken that journey of faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and how through that cross, God, our sins are forgiven, Lord, help us appreciate the love of God in this time and the mercy of God. And so, Lord, I pray for every person here, whether online or in person, that this weekend as we come, Lord, as God's people, may you illumine our minds to the things of God. And so we ask, God, that may we love you more and serve you more, God. And all God's children say, amen, amen, amen. So welcome again, especially those who have come to join us maybe first time. And those who are simply here because of those who are getting baptized, I understand one of the persons who are getting baptized have invited 30 people here, right here. No wonder I was looking at the gallery. You know, we have never filled up half the gallery up there, but it's something like maybe 70, 80 people up in gallery. So you people are closer to heaven, all right, in that sense, okay? And so welcome again. And those in person, I'd like to welcome you to this celebration. And, you know, tomorrow will be a time when we continue to worship God. We're going to open up on Sunday, I mentioned, open up in person. And so I want to see many of you would take the step of faith to come because we all need one another. And the other call I'd like to make is our volunteers. We need volunteers as we open up now. We need volunteers on our ushers team, on our due crew, and different acts of service that you can actually offer yourself. So, you know, so think about volunteering. And the other part is last weekend I mentioned to you that to pray for Pastor Bill Wilson, right? Because he has now gotten into Ukraine and just got a video update from him. He's right in Ukraine right now. And so we as a church decided that we want to be part of it. So we told Pastor Bill Wilson, let us contribute in a small way. I know there's so much need, but in a small way as DUMC, let's contribute something. So we're going to send some funds across to the ministry so that he can use it to be a blessing to the people of Ukraine. So I want to let you know that we want to play a part, although we may be very far away, but we want to be a part of it. So right now, as of this weekend, we have reached 82% of our AGW. All right, so that's amazing. So we thank God for his provision. So I would like to see 100% by 31st of March so that all this will really get out to the people that really needs them. All right, before we move on, let's lift up the Word of God. Can we do that? Let's lift up the Bible. Let's stand up and lift up the Bible, and then we're going to read the Word of God together. All right, so lift it, your Bible up, and you know the drill. This is my Bible. Are you ready? One, two, go. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It informs my mind, inspires my heart, and instructs my behavior. So help me, God. We're going to read on screen aloud together. And we are now coming to Revelation chapter 8, verse 6 to chapter 11, verse 19. Of course, we will not read through all of it. I've selected some of the verses that we can read together. All right, so it will be flashed on the screen, and let's proclaim the Word of God aloud together. Are you ready? One, two, go. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down on the earth. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. And the third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky on the third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark. The fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. During those days, people will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. The sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the four horns of the golden altar that is before God. It said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk, nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever." Amen. Please be seated. Now, we're going through this whole series called The End on the book of Revelation. And I've been visiting some cell groups. It's rather interesting to hear what they were commenting in the cell groups. And some of them very frankly and honestly say, "I never really wanted to go to the book of Revelation. It frightens me." Right? Of course, the purpose of Revelation is not to frighten you. The purpose of Revelation is to inform you and to be of good courage. That's what Revelation is meant to do. So I want us to have that posture of being encouraged through the book of Revelation. Now, The End, that seems to be a frightening title, The End, because the end will come. You know, there have been a fascination of what we call apocalyptic movies. I mean, movies about the last days, the end times, about the end of the world. And I'm showing you this, you know, chart here, rather interesting chart of, you know, that there are many movies that have been produced in the last 50 to 60 years. There was 360 movies made since 1950, with almost 200 produced since the year 2000. That tells you something. Since the year 2000, we see a doubling over the decade in year 2000 and year 2010. So there's a doubling somehow of this fascination of the end time. So we are familiar with movies like Armageddon, Deep Impact, even Planet of the Apes, right? Left Behind, and World War Z, for those who are, you know, very attracted to movies like that. Now, remember the Y2K, Millennium Bug. The Y2K is a rather interesting end-of-the-world scenario where computer will crash, and I still remember 31st of December, 1999. We were all waiting, you know, wondering what's going to happen. What happened? All right. We went through it, all right? We went through it. We held our breath. Nothing much really happened. The worst I heard was that there were some prison inmates in Italy. Okay? Their sentences got extended by 100 years, right? Because of the glitch. And of course, they corrected it later on. Now, why am I sharing this? Somehow deep in the psyche of mankind, now, it seems that we knew that something was coming. There was like an appointed conclusion that the end will come. So perhaps it's no accident there are so many movies that are produced about the end times. And so we are now into the fifth sermon on this series called The End. So let's not look further to all these movies to find out how the end will pan out. Let's go to the Word of God, right? Let's go to the Word of God. There's no need to speculate what will happen in the last days because the Word of God has already told us. So last weekend, Pastor Daniel preached about the seven seals. Now, they are not very nice things to hear, so I'm going to make it worse this weekend, right? We're going to talk about the seven trumpets. So what are these seven trumpets? Do you know that President Donald Trump is mentioned in the book of Revelation? Did you know that? If you don't believe me, try reading this passage that we were reading earlier on, because talk about seven trumpets, right? So the first trumpet, the second trumpet, the third trumpet, Trump. Trump, that's it. President Trump. So the book of Revelation, tell you what, predicted his election to the presidency. Not only that, this Trump family will rule for seven generations. And the seven angels have seven trumps to blow, meaning that Donald is the first one. There are six more to come. And then the end will arrive. I already hear some ch-ch-ch-ch-ch over there already. Now, of course, I'm only joking. But on another hand, I'm not joking because this is a real thing being said. There was even a book that was published about this. 262 pages, this book. Taking right from Book of Revelation, and you have to pay US dollars 200 to buy this book and read it. Now, this is how ridiculous things has become when we take Bible symbolism and have a, what I call a hyper-literalistic view of the Book of Revelation. So I kid you not, there are people like that, they will take interpretations to the extreme until it becomes so embarrassing for me personally, because many of these predictions are not even fulfilled. I remember many years ago, as a young Christian, they were predicting that the European Union, when it was first formed, European Union, would be the 10 horns of the red dragon in Revelation chapter 12. Right? Is it 10 horns? 10 nations, European Union. That must be the 10 horns. But as of 2021, there are 27 nations. Right? So that prediction is already out of the window. Right? It doesn't apply anymore. So that didn't work. And there were many along the way who predicted the second coming of Jesus Christ. Tell you what, there were quite a number of them. The dates have come and gone. And time has proven that many of them have got it wrong, but yet they have published books. And so millions of these books, and even after they were proven wrong, all right, the people of God seems to be very forgiving. And they make other predictions and produce or publish many, many more books, and we are still buying them. No wonder Jesus said that we are like sheep, easily led astray. So let's heed that warning, okay? Let's heed that warning. Because Christians can be so sidetracked by the message, even by Revelation, so sidetracked away that we forget the purpose of Revelation. What is the purpose of Revelation? To prepare us adequately for what's ahead of us, to prepare us in our heart, to prepare us in our spirit. So I just want to mention that because we are so easily sidetracked. So let's be reminded again about the purpose of this book, right, called Revelation. Remember when we first started out the book in chapter 1, it said, John, Apostle John says, is the revelation from Jesus Christ. The entire revelation is about Jesus. It's not about information or prophetic values, of information of what is to come primarily, okay? It is about Jesus telling us that after we have been reading and preaching of these books, we are not to be preoccupied with the symbols, not be preoccupied and even fight and debate and have controversies and worst of all, right, and split the church. That's never the purpose of Revelation. Or sometimes we can be so preoccupied with certain individuals because it seems the person is so accurate in his prophecy, so-called accurate, all right, we follow after that person instead of Jesus. Right? So let's remind ourselves that this book here, Revelation, is meant to lead us to the feet of Jesus. And this book here is meant to challenge us to have a radical commitment to Jesus. And I hope we understand why we are reading and preaching the book of Revelation. So once again, what's the outline so that we all get into context again? What's the outline of the book of Revelation? 22 chapters, all right? They're rather long, 22 chapters. Chapter 1 to 3 is about the present. Now, what do I mean by the present? Meaning that the messages given to the seven churches in chapter 1 to 3, it was relevant for them. It is also relevant for us today. Now, the messages to the seven churches is about getting right with God, is about repenting from our ways so that we can align to the heart of God. So that's chapter 1 to 3. And then there's chapter 4 to 22 is about the future. What's going to happen in the future? Then I mentioned to you that chapters 4 to 18 is the bad news. They are not just bad news, it's really bad news, okay? And things are going to get worse. So here's a message to all of us here. Things are not getting better. It's going to get worse. So here is where the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven bowls, which we preach in 2 weeks' time. This is what it's going to about. All about. It's going to get worse. Okay? And then come chapter 19. Is a pivoting chapter where we talk about the second coming of Christ, which is something that we all look forward to. That is why when we conduct Holy Communion, right, we are saying to one another that Christ is coming soon. So chapter 19 is a pivoting chapter, a transition from the bad news now to the good news in chapter 20 to 22. In other words, the entire book of Revelation is saying things will get worse, but it will get better for eternity. Stay on track. Look at the finishing line of glory. And once you pass it, there'll be no more tears, no more pain, and no more death. And I hope you get the gist of the entire book of Revelation here. So what's the heart of the message? The heart of the message is Jesus wins. Everyone say, Jesus wins. One more time. That's right. If Jesus wins, we win. That's the message behind it. So, in the Bible, the book of Genesis started with paradise. It's going to end in Revelation 22 with paradise. All right? So, sandwiched in between are all the things that have happened. But the point is, Jesus wins. And so we are right now in the bad news. I personally don't like to preach bad news, but I prefer to preach good news. But the bad news is found in the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls. Now, what's the big idea behind the seals, the trumpets, and the bowl? And that's the big idea, the hardness of the human heart. The hardness of the human heart. Now remember, Jesus is speaking to believers about discipleship in a hostile world. Now don't think that once you become a Christian, the world will be very friendly to you. In fact, the moment you become a Christian, the world is against you. Right? Now some of you say, the moment I become a Christian, I thought things would be better. Yes, there are many things that got better, but there are many things that got worse. So here's a reminder to us. That Apostle John, when he received a vision in the island of Patmos, he was imprisoned. Why was he imprisoned? He was imprisoned simply because he refused to utter this phrase. And that phrase is, Caesar is Lord. He refused to say that. Caesar is Lord. Caesar is Lord is the spirit of the Roman Empire. And we have that same spirit of what we call spirit of Babylon, which is mentioned in the book of Revelation, right here today. The very reason why Apostle John was persecuted is the very reason why we will be persecuted. And Apostle Paul described this way about the hardness of the human heart. So let me read for you 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. Sound familiar? Lovers of money. Sound familiar again? Boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. Now, as we read that passage here, we begin to say, that's true, right? It would even describe, for some of us who confess, it described me. In fact, someone did that in the cell group I visited yesterday. He said, I was reading this, it was describing me. This is a confession of a fellow believer. And I told him, thank you for being honest, sir. It says that it described you. So let me ask you, does it describe you? So then the next question is, so do people get away with this? Do you get away with this? And this is where Apostle Paul put it this way, Colossians chapter 3, verse 6. Because of this, the wrath of God is coming. Everyone say, wrath. Now, we don't like to say that word. It's a terrible word. The wrath of God is coming. So what is this wrath of God? The word wrath of God is mentioned 188 times in the Bible, 31 in the New Testament, and 157 in the Old Testament. So it's mentioned in the Word of God many times. The underlying point is this. Now listen to this carefully. The underlying point is this. The wrath of God is coming. It is coming. And right now, He's given everyone a chance to confess our sins and repent so that we can be forgiven through the blood, shedding of Jesus' blood, and the forgiveness through Jesus. You see, what the Bible is trying to tell us is this, none of us are good. There's no inherent good in any one of us. If we think we are good, we got it all wrong. We are not good. It's just that we have not been given an opportunity, right, to be bad. And when we're in such an environment, we too can be wicked and all those that things that are described there. And then the wrath of God is going to come, and this is something that we all don't like to hear. And when finally, when God's wrath comes through the seals, through the trumpets, and through, you know, the bowls, then the end and hell will be there. Hell has not been created yet. If you read further down the book of Revelation, hell is a real place when God finally judges and people will be sent to hell, those who do not have the seal of God in their lives. That's the reality of Scripture. Now, let me say these things to all of you here. Listen to this very carefully, because a lot of Christians got this wrong. All right? Listen to this carefully. People go to hell not because primarily they reject Jesus. Let me repeat that. Right? People go to hell not because primarily they reject Jesus. They go to hell because the wrath of God is coming to them due to their rebellion. That is why they are going to hell. All of us, before we became Christian, were destined to hell. Do you understand this part here? All right? So because we are destined to hell, God came. That's the Easter message. God came. And Jesus was the provision for us to come out of that path to hell. We are all on the default path. Everyone in this world is on the default path. Not because they reject Jesus in the first place, because wrath was already upon them because the sins of men since the time of Adam and Eve. So now, if you understand that Jesus is a provision for us to get out of that path to hell, therefore, we are already condemned, right? We're already condemned. And therefore, we do not need justice anymore because of the sins in our life. The deserved punishment is the wrath of God. And therefore, we do not need justice. The entire population of this world do not need justice because justice has already been meted out to everyone. That's the wrath of God that will lead them to hell. So we do not need justice. What do we need? We need mercy. We need the mercies of God. Therefore, we understand this even in this country called Malaysia, we have something called the royal pardon, right? Somebody is already condemned to death, all right, or through hanging or through whatever other means where they will die, but yet there is a royal pardon. This person has been condemned, but the king can actually say, I will pardon that person. Not that because they have become good. It's simply because of the mercy extended to them. So here, the concept of God's wrath is quite a difficult concept. Why? Because we confuse it with human wrath. All right? And the human wrath means the human part of wrath. Okay? When we say we have this wrathful vengeance towards somebody, it means that it's a strong, vengeful anger. You see, when we talk about human wrath, it simply means this, that if somebody have wronged me, somebody have committed a wrong towards me, I will make every effort to hurt that person. And that's called the wrath, the human wrath. Okay? And sometimes we confuse that with God's wrath. Because God's wrath is not like that. God's wrath is not because he wants to take revenge over you. It's not. Okay? God's wrath is about his justice because of your rebellion. It's very different. It's not because he wants to take revenge on you. It's because of your rebellion that God have no other way of condemning you except to condemn you. All right? There's no other way to get you out of that. So here in Romans chapter 2, verse 5 to 6 says this, but because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself. In other words, we are storing wrath for ourselves by the sins that we have committed for the day, the finality of it, for the day of God's wrath when his righteous judgment will be revealed. That means on judgment day. And God will repay each person according to what they have done. So I want you to understand the concept of the wrath of God. It is coming. And it has to do with God giving to sinners what they actually deserve. Now, each of us here have this sense of justice, right? Even right now, some of us are making so much noise. Oh, how can these wicked people get away with this? You see, right within the human psyche, we all know there must be that sense of justice. How can crooked people unfairly get away with things? And therefore, we realize that how can we expect a God of love who can get people get away with the sins that they commit in their life? It's inconsistent with the God of love that we know, because God of love is also the God of justice. And therefore, God's wrath and judgment are a function of his love. It goes hand in hand together. Because tell you what, I do not want a God of love who is not just, who allow wicked people to get away with what they're committing through their lives. So, let me just maybe put it in another way. The cross. The cross is a perfect example of God's love and justice met at one point. There's a love of God that Jesus, although a person without sin, will go to the cross because his Father sent him there. And when he went to the cross, God's love came and God's justice came as well, because God's wrath was upon Jesus. The sins of men was placed upon him, and God poured his wrath upon Jesus so that you do not need to take that wrath of God. There was a way out for you, and this is love, that God took our sins upon himself. So I hope we understand when I talk about God's wrath, it is what we deserve. So God's wrath is coming. It's coming. The seals, the trumpets, and the bowls is all about the wrath of God. And the final destination of humans facing the wrath of God is hell. Now, we don't like to say that, but Jesus himself mentioned it so many times. So now, let's jump into the trumpets. So what are all these trumpets all about? Now, those of you who are able to get into the notes that I prepared for you, you will find this table there, okay? And here, let me very quickly, I don't want to spend time trying to interpret each of these trumpets, because that's not my purpose. My purpose of going through this list is to let you know what that looks like when the trumpet is blown. So for example, in trumpet number one, it says there, let me just sum it up for you, right? Scorch earth, trumpet one. When trumpet one is sound, there'll be scorched earth, one third of earth, one third of the trees, and one third of the green grass will be burned up. And when the second trumpet is blown, there's polluted sea. One third of the sea turned to blood, one third of living creatures in the sea died, and one third of the ship, that means the boat, the big boat, ships, okay, will be destroyed. And then when the third trumpet will sound, it will be contaminated fresh water, meaning that one third of the waters will turn bitter and many will die from drinking. And then when the fourth trumpet sound, there'll be reduced sunlight. Why? Because one third of the sun will be struck, one third of the moon, and one third of the stars. And then when the fifth trumpet sounds, there'll be locusts with power like scorpions that will come, and plagues, and there will be 5 months of that, and there'll be torture for those who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads, meaning that those who are believers at that time will be spared of it. At that time for this particular trumpet, and Revelation chapter 9 verse 6 says, during those days, people will seek death because it's horrible. They will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. And then trumpet 6, there'll be invasion from the east. All right, from the east of Euphrates. There'll be 200, it boggles my mind, 200 million horsemen. And one third of mankind will die. And then finally, when the seventh trumpet was sounded, the kingdom comes, the world is taken over by God and Christ after a severe earthquake. Now, as I describe this, you see a microcosm of that, right? You're already seeing the polluted sea. You are already seeing the scorching of the earth by fire. You're seeing a little bit, a foretaste of what's to come. We see climate change that has been reported over and over again. We see overfishing is a huge problem right now in our world. In about, I think, 40, 50 years' time, there'll be no more fish if we continue to fish like this. Okay? There'll be plastic pollution that's already happening today. Tell you what, the Bible reminds us the worst is yet to come. And the age ahead of us will be trials and tribulation. There'll be wars and rumors of wars, plagues and famines. And it will happen to the righteous and the unrighteous, but God will keep the righteous safe in certain aspect of this. And both are affected, but to the unrighteous, there are judgment to the unrighteous. But to the righteous, God's people will go through what I call refining fire. It will build us to be strong in the Lord. But the point is this, finally, the enemies of God will be judged. And because we have the seal of Christ in us, our final destination is eternity with Christ. Now that is what Revelation is trying to describe to us as part of the judgment of the trumpet. So now that we heard the seven trumpets, you have heard last week about seals, all right? Now, as you look at the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls, now, many theologians have come up with a sequence of timing. Right, so let me describe briefly for you, and then I'll give you my interpretation, which I favor. One interpretation is this, that it will happen in sequence, meaning that seals will happen, the trumpets will happen, and then the bowls will happen, so in that order. Okay. But let me give you some handles in looking at the book of Revelation. And that is number one, it is not in chronological order all the time. Right, so we must understand, it doesn't mean that it will follow in the same sequence. It's now not all in chronological order. So we cannot read it like this is going to happen after this, after this, after this. Okay? So all, because for these three things, seals, trumpets, and bowls, they may all happen, it could happen all at the same time. Right? It could all happen at the same time. So there's one interpretation. Now another interpretation is that, right, the thing that will happen together will be the seventh time. The seventh seal, the seven trumpets, and the seven bowls. They all happen at the same time, the seventh time. But, all right, from the seals 1 to 6, it will happen first, and then trumpets 1 to 6, it happens second, and then bowls 1 to 6 will happen the third time, and then seventh, they all happen at the same time. You understand this? Okay? Now, my personal preference is this particular one, the last one. I think the last interpretation is probably the one I will adopt. But like I say, for many of these interpretations, let's hold them not too tightly, lah. Right? Let's not fight over it. But I think this is my personal interpretation. So the first thing is that don't interpret it too chronologically, right? Literally in that sense. The second thing is that don't interpret it literally all the time, meaning that, you know, you want to look at the symbols and say, ah, this is what's going to happen. Don't do that, all right? So don't say that, you know, trumpet means President Trump. No, that's not the point, okay? The point is that we want to understand the overall spirit behind it, all right? And so, don't really like the book of Exodus, where all these things actually happen, But we read Revelation, these things have not happened yet, so don't try to put too much interpretation into that. Read it symbolically. For example, Jesus says that the churches are like golden lampstands. So does DUMC look like golden lampstand? No, right? Definitely not. But it is a symbolic way of saying that churches are lampstands. Neither is Jesus the lamb with seven horns, right? Because that's mentioned in Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. So we don't have to go into trying to take those symbols and literally say this is what it really is. But all he's really trying to say to trumpets is there's going to be bad news coming up. So I'm going to disappoint you, all right, by not giving you my interpretation of all these trumpets. I'm not going to do that. Because some have said that the first four trumpets means meteorites are going to fall from the sky. And that's why you got polluted sea, your bitterness in fresh water. Right? Or the locust in Revelation chapter 9 is actually about helicopter gunship. Because you talk about the sting of the scorpion. Or sting, means stinger missiles. Right? So you can have all kinds of interpretation, or the 200 million horsemen that come. Must be China and Russia because they have a huge army. Right? So we don't have to go into that. But to recognize that, you know, we are given a glimpse of what's to come, and as Pastor Daniel has shared last weekend, is to have patient endurance, to pray unceasingly, and today live faithfully for God. And so don't read Revelation with a newspaper next to you. Some are already right now interpreting what's happening in Ukraine to the book of Revelation already. They're trying to get one symbol and fit it to Ukraine and Russia. Right? So when we do that, we are majoring on the speculation than Jesus himself. So we need to guard against that. So let me just come to the last part here to give you my interpretation of the trumpets, not the way you wanted it. But I'm going to interpret trumpets for you. What does it mean to me? And I pray that it will encourage you. You see, the whole Bible here is tied from Genesis to Revelation, right? They're all tied together. Then we look at the story of Exodus and the fall of Jericho. They are all what I call redemptive historical events. They actually happened. It happened to show us something about the future. Okay? So the story of Exodus, what does it mean? It means that as God's people are delivered from Egypt, they are delivered from the power of sin and death. Because we were once slaves to the sin of the world, to the kingdom of the world. Egypt represents the kingdom of the world, and we are delivered from that. And so, in that sense, you know, the story of Exodus reminds us that we are part of the world system before, and God has delivered us out. And when God's people go through the Red Sea, they are water of judgment. Right? And God's people walk through it without being killed. And therefore, we will one day walk through this judgment and not be killed. You understand this? It's very clear there. And then you realize that once they pass through, because God's wrath is not upon us anymore, we wander the God's people for 40 years in the desert. What does that mean? It means that like us right now, we are wandering through this place called Earth. And this is not our home. We are just passing through. So when God's people were wandering through the desert, which today we call Earth, right? They are looking forward to the promised land. And what is that promised land to us today? The new heaven and the new earth. So Abraham, the patriarch of the Jewish people, with his eyes of faith, saw it. Who will lead them? In the Old Testament, it was Joshua, the son of Nun, who took them to the promised land. In our today's language, it's not Joshua the Nun. It's Joshua the Christ who will lead us to the promised land. And Joshua the Christ, the word Joshua in Hebrew is Greek Jesus. So it's the same thing. You see the typology here? It's amazing. So from the desert, that comes the main point here. From the desert, they enter into the promised land. And as they enter, they encountered Jericho. And what happened at Jericho? We are very familiar with Jericho, chapter 6, verse 1 to 21. The fall of Jericho is a typology of the final judgment. And the day will come when God will judge all the kingdom of the earth. So now, let me therefore relate to you very quickly the story of the fall of Jericho, because it has everything to do with the trumpets that we're reading here today. So the gist of it is this, that under Joshua's leadership, there were seven priests, remember? Seven priests who took seven trumpets and circled the city day one. And they did that one time for how many days? 6 days. And then in the 6 days, imagine this picture with me, that the people of Jericho are looking down. Here's the army that's coming to conquer us. Instead of taking arms, what do? They were blowing the trumpets. And as they're blowing the trumpets, they're walking the city one time. At the end of that day, they all were wondering, the people of Jericho were wondering, what's going on there? And tell you what, by day two, day three, day four, maybe day five even, they all be laughing and mocking the people of God. What in the world are they doing? They have a good time laughing and mocking. But on the seventh day, what happened? They walked around the city of Jericho how many times? Seven times. At the end of that seven times, they gave a huge shout. And that huge shout, the city wall collapsed. And when it collapsed, the people of God took over Jericho. The Lord had fought the battle for them. So here's my interpretation. See, the sounding of the trumpets in the first 6 days was to warn the inhabitants that they are about to be destroyed. But what were they doing? They were laughing and mocking at God's people. And God has the last laugh, right? Because on the seventh day, on the last day, the city of Jericho fell. So isn't there a parallel here somewhere? The seven trumpets that are being sounded will be sounded in the days to come. In fact, tell you what, it is being sounded right now too. Now you may not hear this trumpet with your human ear, but nevertheless, they are sounding every day right now to an unbelieving world that is doomed by the wrath of God. Because one day, the walls will collapse and everyone dies who are not God's people. So there are wars and rumors of wars. There are famines today. There are plagues today. One of the biggest threats in Africa was these hordes of locusts that will come and destroy all kinds of vegetation, natural disaster, climate change, the rise and fall of nations, and death. In this pandemic, we experienced that. Thousands died. And this is only a foreshadow of what's to come. They are all a reminder to us about the effect of sin. And that is why God is saying to us we have an important mission to do as God's people. God's people are to sound the trumpet. We need to sound and warn the people that the wrath of God will come and the end will come. And of course, there'll be many who will respond well, but equally, there'll be many more who will mock, who will cry. All right? They will mock and ridicule many of us who are blowing their trumpet. And so this is what God is saying to us. In Revelation chapter 9, verse 20 to 21, this is in the future, right? These are people who have gone through and heard that warning. This is what he says there. The rest of mankind who were not killed by this plague still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders, their magic acts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. Now this is written about the future. That there were people who went through the trumpets, they are still mocking God. And that is why I titled the big idea as the hardness of the human heart. There are so many out there who need to hear the message of Jesus. And one of our sisters here who were baptized I was so glad to hear, although I was told that she was a hard nut. For 15 years, right, they have tried to share the gospel, but finally, the trumpet broke through her. Right? The trumpet broke through, and she heard. She repented, and today is baptized. You know, I do wish that many will respond to the good news, because we understand the wrath of God and what's to come is a frightening scenario. And the best thing we can do is to warn the people about the impending doom that's coming. You know, I preach at many funeral services, and funeral services are the best places to frighten people sometimes to think about God, you know, because I tell them that death is the 100% certainty. All right, everyone will face death, and life is not going to go on forever, and one day we will have to give account to God. So I pray that the trumpet blast is loud and clear for the people of the UMC here. We need to be out there blowing the trumpet of the good news. And we thank God that at this point here, God has restrained his judgment. It's not the fullness of his wrath has not come yet. But we see glimpses of it today. We see it. But before he comes, he restrained himself and allow as many as we can to bring to the kingdom of God. And this is why our call, our trumpet call, is to the least and the lost. That's our trumpet call. You know, when I want to end with this story here. You know, when a church opened up on Sunday, December, and one of the Saturday in-person celebration, when they were first opened up, there were some newcomers who came, rather interestingly. And we, as usual, we asked them to raise their hands. And I saw two hands raised up right around there. Okay, and the moment the celebration is over, I saw that person who raised up his hand wanting to walk out. I quickly ran to this person because a new visitor. And I chatted with him and realized that I said, why do you want to come to church? Okay? And he said, because, you know, I've been sort of drawn to come, all right? And I found about UMC through Google and all that. And I believe that this person had heard the trumpet sound. And he came here, to cut a whole long story short, I led him to Christ. At that point, I said, would you want to accept Jesus into your life? He said, yes. Right? And these are people who heard the trumpet cry, a call. And not only that, you know, I met this in December. Not only that, and I met this brother, in fact, 2 weekends ago. And I found that not only has he joined a cell group, he has now been part of a discipleship process that one brother in the cell group is going through with him in our Discipleship One program. And he said that, I'm really enjoying my journey with God's people. I'm really enjoying my journey in the cell group. And I can imagine now, from December until now, right, if he had not heeded that call, he would still be facing the wrath of God that's coming towards him. And would never understand this wrath of God until one day when those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you face it, it's a terrible thing. And church, the best thing we can do to people, to the world that is mocking and laughing at Jesus, is to take courage. Go out there and not be fearful of the ridicule, but to say that this is a message that you need to hear. Our job is not to convert people. Our job is to blow that trumpet, let people hear it. Jesus and the Holy Spirit will convict them. It's not our role. Our role is to share. Amen? So church, blow that trumpet. All right? Blow that trumpet. Okay? Let's bow our heads right now. Let's bow our heads and ask ourselves, what is the Holy Spirit saying to us today? What is He saying to us about our life in Christ? And those of you watching this online as well, ask yourself the same question. What am I doing? What am I doing to sound that trumpet call? Will you ponder that for a while? And those of you who may be here and listening this online as well, who may not be Christians, I pray that you will hear that trumpet call. Because you do not want to be caught in that trumpet call when you do not have the mercy of God proclaimed over you. So if you're not a Christian here today, and I believe you have been here not by chance, God has brought you here. He has drawn you here. Just like I told you about this brother who came to church. And so if that's you, I want you to follow with me in, I call it a decision made in a prayer. You say you do not know all things, but you do know one thing, is that you want that grace and mercy of God in your life. And if that's you, you follow me very quickly in this simple prayer. If that's you, pray with me this prayer. And I believe God will hear your cries. So will you follow after me this prayer? Dear Lord Jesus, together in your heart, you say, Dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I have rebelled against you. I deserve the wrath of God. Please forgive me for my sins. And thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross for me. And that through the cross, that I am forgiven because of the shed blood for me. You have taken the sins of the world, including mine, upon yourself. And the wrath of God is directed toward Jesus and not me. And today I receive your forgiveness. Thank you for accepting me and loving me. I invite you, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit of God, to come into my life and make me a new person. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Church, why don't we stand right now? I want to pray a prayer over you, because I believe that today's message is a call from God, that God has given us this important assignment of blowing the trumpet of the good news. Amen. And I want to pray for all of us to have the courage, because God is going to open up opportunities for you, and He's going to use you to share that good news. So I want to pray for all of us here. Remember, I make a call at the beginning of the year that each of us will pray for at least one person, right? That we will love this person and we'll sound that trumpet call. And that person, and God will lead that person to Christ. Amen? So will you do that? And just raise your hands to the Lord. I'm going to pray a prayer over you that you may receive the courage to share. Holy Spirit, even those online, you can do that as well. Just raise your hands to the Lord. Holy Spirit, thank you. You see every heart here, God. Some of us, as we listen to this message, Lord, there are fear in us. But God, that's not the purpose of this book. The purpose of this book is to put hope in us, and that we can be certain of our faith in you. That even right now, Lord, for some of us who may have backslided away from God, we return. We return back to Him. By a simple repentance before God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Help me return back to you, God. Realign my heart and my purpose to you. And Lord, as our hands are lifted up to you, all we can say is this: that God, you are good, that you are merciful, and we want to receive every good gift that comes from you. And help us to have the courage, God, as we face those, God, who may mock you, who may laugh even at us, but yet with courage we persevere and we pray that, Lord, give us the privilege of sharing with someone, and even, Lord, to lead someone to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the wrath of God can be diverted from them. Help us see the importance of this mission, God, so that no one should perish but have eternal life. So we receive, Lord, the courage from you. And most of all, Lord, lead us into opportunities where we can talk about you. And so thank you again for that privilege of being your ambassadors. And so now may the grace of Lord Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of His Spirit be with us both now and forevermore. And all God's children say, amen, amen, amen. God bless you.